It's time to navigate through life's kindness, common sense, and a little help from your friends. It's time for Talkin' Shit, the unsolicited podcast with host Jessica Lee Levin, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and purveyor of kindness.
This is Jessica Levin, and we are talking shit this morning. And today I am here with someone with two personas. Known to most people as Joe Kovacs, marketing guru and writer, who also goes by the name of Jay Lemming as an author. And Joe and I have known each other for a long time, and I thought he would be a great guest for a number of reasons. One, that he's a very interesting person, a very, very talented writer, and we're going to talk a little bit about his personas and what he's up to and a whole bunch of other topics this morning. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks, Jessica.
So I know we kind of just touched upon this, but why don't you talk a little bit about what you do in your day job and a little bit about what you're doing on the side?
Sure. No, absolutely. We'd love to do that. So my day job is as a director in business development for a mid-PA firm in Bethesda, Maryland, Counselor Buchanan and Mitchell. And I've been working in accounting marketing on and off since 2003. And I'm very lucky to be in this profession because I absolutely love it. You know, I've had an opportunity to meet great people like yourself and, you know, many other marketers and those who serve the industry. So that's, it's been a real blessing to be in this industry. You know, as far as what I do on the side, so I'd say about 3.5 years ago, I did develop, you know, as you called it, this, you know, kind of other persona, which I've mostly kept in the closet. I mean, you are probably one of one people in the industry, in the accounting marketing industry, who know that I also do write on the side, and I have this other pseudonym, and I have a website and a blog, and I have a couple of novels, you know, that are available in a digital format on Amazon. So that's something I've been doing, you know, again, on and off for about 3.5-4 years.
Okay, so we're totally outing you here.
Yeah.
So I have read Joe's novel and some of his short stories, and they're phenomenal, and they're truly creative writing, and we're going to talk a little bit about them because they do touch upon some really interesting topics that are happening in the world today, but we'll get to that in a minute. But really the interesting thing about this is the fact that so many people know you and have no idea that you are actually a creative writer.
You know, anyone who looks at my LinkedIn profile, you know, would probably expect to see, you know, a master's or a bachelor's in marketing or a marketing certificate. But what they'll see is that I have dual degrees in English, because at one point I was going to be an English professor. I wanted to be an English professor, and then realized that I was more interested in the creative rather than the analytical aspects of writing. So I made the hard decision in the late 90s to leave the university. And, you know, over the years, I've just kept diligently writing creatively. And over the last 3.5-4 years, have I really established a focus on it.
Okay, so why keep it a secret?
Could be a personal hang up, raised Catholic, guilt, just hiding things. I don't know. You know, I think that focusing on it 3.5 years ago, when I started doing it really in depth, you know, came from a very personal space. I had just gotten divorced and I was going through a lot of soul searching and realizing that, you know, you only live life once, and, you know, no matter what it is you love to do, you should just do it, because, you know, there's all sorts of challenges and things that can create disappointment in your life. And, you know, the hours and the days tick away, so you might as well just keep doing what you love to do. But, you know, to your point about it being hidden and why did I hide it, it's because it was such a personal choice. It came after my divorce. And so it's something I love to do, but it was inspired by just a personal, painful experience I'd gone through.
But it's interesting because it's not a personal book. It's not a memoir. It's truly a creative story.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, the name of the novel is Billy Maddox Takes His Shot. It's been available on Amazon for the last several years. So you'll see it written by Jay Lemming. And it's about a Border Patrol agent down in the Southwest. So one of the things that's always been important to me about my writing is that I enjoy research. I enjoy writing about people and places that I don't have a lot of experience with for two reasons. One, because if I were to write about someone in my situation and my background, you know, the creative aspects and the imaginative aspects would probably be overwhelmed by the autobiographical elements. But then secondly, you know, it's because, again, about my university background and my love of research and learning about things that I don't know anything about. You know, I've always cracked the books, I've always researched. And so I feel like it's an exciting opportunity to create a new world based on things that are really happening.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I don't think people do that enough today. They don't go out and they don't have the intellectual curiosity to discover new things. Is that something that's just always been inherent in you?
I think so. I can't say why or how, but you know, I've traveled a little bit too. I've had the blessed opportunity to travel. And when you do that, you know, and you realize how big the world is, you know, you kind of feel smaller in one sense, but you also feel larger in the sense of the knowledge, you know, is out there and the life that you know is out there. And, you know, you try to keep your personal ego in check and not think that you yourself personally are the world. And so, you know, giving you lots of opportunities to find out what's out there. And, you know, I've always had that boyish curiosity.
That's a good thing. And it's a good lesson for other people that I think, what do you get out of that when you learn about new things? What does that give you from a personal satisfaction standpoint?
Is that a rhetorical question or do you want me to
answer it? Because I don't think it comes naturally to people. So what can we teach them?
You know, this may be a deeper response than you were expecting, but, you know, let's say you're having a conversation with someone. And, you know, we all bring interpretation. We all bring judgment to our experiences with people. You know, we see these little things about people, the way they behave, the way they speak, the way they dress. You know something about their history and you're quick to judge. You're quick to make a determination about who you're talking to. And, you know, I think that the curiosity and the research that I find motivated to do is always a daily reminder to me that you never know the full. And so this is a research and learning to me because it makes me less inclined to judge based on the little information I know. So I'm having these human experiences, I'm having conversations, I'm getting to know people. I realize there's always something more that I need to know about someone, that I shouldn't judge someone. I shouldn't think, oh, this person is A, B, and C. Because, you know, not everyone is always in a good space at any given moment. You know, when I went through my divorce, you know, there were a couple things going on. I probably did not present well in front of a lot of people. I could see the judgment sometimes from people that I'd known for a while, which was hurtful at times. And so, again, I just think it's a good reminder for me in terms of always being motivated to research and to learn more, to realize that, you know, you never know anyone's full story. So that's a big part of why I think enjoy doing the research and learning about the world.
That's such an important point. And that's part of my book is about perceptions and overcoming them and how we have these biases that come from our experiences. And I talk a lot about that people actually judge people for being biased, but bias comes from our experiences. And the only way to overcome that is to have more experiences and to learn more and to see more. And if you don't do that, then you stay in your bubble and then just becomes, you know, it just happens over and over again and there's no way to break that cycle. And what you're doing is being intentional about going out there and learning new things and seeing different things and meeting new people.
Yep.
So your book actually touches upon a topic that has a lot of preconceived notions and it is in the news on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk a little bit more? Again, it is fiction, but it is based on research. So talk a little bit more about this specific topic.
So the main character in my novel is a Border Patrol agent in Nogales, Arizona, in Santa Cruz County. As you drive directly south on, I think it's I-19 from Tucson, you hit Nogales, and it's right there on the border. And, you know, like you just mentioned, the idea of the border and the idea of immigration is a hot topic, and it has been for a very long time. And it's been a very politicized subject as well. So I think one of the reasons that I was interested in exploring this topic was because, you know, the opportunity to put my feet or try to put my feet in the shoes of a Border Patrol agent meant trying to identify what is real to the experience of an individual human who's being a Border Patrol agent. You know, the left says something about the Border Patrol, the right says something about the Border Patrol. But in the middle of it is this guy that just has a job. And there was an album that came out in the late 90s called The Ghost of Tom Joad by Bruce Springsteen, who is a big motivator for me, a big, you know, he writes about the human experiences of Border Patrol agents. So I did go down to the border. I did go on ride-alongs with Border Patrol agents. I had a chance to talk to them. And, you know, I got to see them as humans, as individuals, you know, just chatting with them one-on-one the way, Jessica, you and I are chatting right now. Mm-hmm. And without the politics there, again, you realize that extra thing about them. You don't judge a Border Patrol agent because of what you're hearing in the media on either side of the political spectrum. You're just having your own conversation. You're learning. And so even though it is it's a novel about the border, it most definitely is, it's also a novel about this guy who just happens to be a Border Patrol agent. And, you know, finding out who that person is and what their struggles were was very intriguing and important for me.
Okay, so you got to know the Border Patrol agent. Mm-hmm. You also got to see people trying to get into the United States.
Yeah.
While you were riding around there. And that's also something, obviously, that is just very sensitive right now, and people have a million opinions on that. Talk a little bit about that, seeing it firsthand, and especially seeing it from sort of the eyes of the Border Patrol agent.
Sure. No, I have a really great example of the time that I was in Arizona. You know, I was out on, I think it was the Pipe Organ Cactus Monument. It's this naturally preserved park. And we were doing a ride along when we found out about this group of border crossers that had been basically caught on a mountaintop right near the border, and it was on the Arizona side. So there were about 15 or 20 of them, and there were about three or four agents that had basically found them. And so they were all sitting in a circle. And at a certain point in time, the group of 15 or 20, they just got up and they scattered and they ran in all directions. Now, of course, there's more of them than there are of the Border Patrol, so they're not all going to be caught. Well, this group, however, was found in a somewhat dehydrated state, so they were not doing so well health-wise. And so what the Border Patrol ended up doing was calling in, they had a, I don't know if it's still around, but it's called BORSTAR, which stands for Border Patrol Search, Trauma, and Rescue. So there's a rescue component, and there's a, you know, kind of a healthcare component that looks after border crossers that are having trouble. They may be dehydrated, they may not be doing so well. And so, you know, they were called in to help. So at that point, the Border Patrol was, you know, obviously they were interested in the deterrence and the border crossings, but they also were looking after, you know, the human needs of these crossers who were scared, didn't want to be caught, and ran off, even though they were not in the best health state. And I think that aspect of, you know, the border strategy is not always discussed as much. So the human aspect is also recognized, is all real, but it's not always recognized.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we want to deny there's some very terrible things happening at the border, but, you know, most of us are not there, most of us are not seeing it firsthand, and you had that very rare opportunity to see it. Now, granted, it was a few years ago, but you saw something that most of us just never experienced, to understand a little bit more about the situation. Did that change you as a person at all?
Well, you know, I would definitely say as I was going to Arizona that I was hoping to get an experience that would open my eyes. You know, and it certainly did do that. Did it change me as a person? I don't know that it did really. I mean, I think I probably had the sensibility beforehand to know that there was a lot about the world I didn't know. That's probably what motivated me to explore the border region in the first place. So I think the sensibility was there. I'd traveled internationally before I went to Arizona. So I think I already had like this idea of the world as being bigger than me. And, you know, that just kind of fed into my interest in exploring the border.
Okay. And it's interesting because in your book, it really does come across as somebody who has a job, and a lot of the political nonsense is not there. Right.
Right.
It is very much from the perspective of somebody that's in it every day, and that's their reality.
Yeah. So, you know, the main character, Billy Maddox, he has a history of anger management, of lost jobs. He's married, but the marriage is not going well. They've got a son. And by the way, this book was published years ago. So, you know, any autobiographical elements there are just, you know, coincidental. But, you know, so he gets this job as a Border Patrol agent, and it's really his last chance to, you know, to really keep his marriage alive because his wife is sick of all his lost jobs. You know, I mean, he gets angry at one boss and he doesn't like one situation. And, you know, so the Border Patrol for him represents not so much a political position, but a very personal one. You know, can I get my act together? Can I just not get angry at things that I don't like, even though some things have happened in my past that have been very troubling to me? You know, can a human being do that when they realize that they've lost a lot in the past, but they can lose something else right now if they don't kind of rise to the occasion? And so that's what that job meant to Billy Maddox. And I think that was intentional. Again, I wanted to get away from the politics of it. And I really wanted to just showcase his life as a Border Patrol agent from the human experience, and to really just make people feel like, you know, this is a real person. You know, this is not a political symbol. This is not someone that's covered in the media in like a soundbite. This is a real person who has a real life, and they just happen to have a job as a Border Patrol agent.
Yeah. And I think you just do an amazing job of that. I really enjoyed reading the book, and, you know, I read it a number of years ago now, and I think it's just so much more relevant in today's world, not even so much from the political standpoint, but really truly from the humanity standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And just the lessons that can be learned there. So you've traveled the world in some interesting ways.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen for you?
How did that, I'll speak about traveling. You know, I had an opportunity, again, I'd call it a blessing, to live overseas in Sri Lanka in the late 90s. I had joined the Peace Corps and I taught English overseas. It was supposed to be for 2 years, but it ended up being 1 year because the security situation was a bit untenable. In the late 90s, Sri Lanka was in a civil war, and there were parts of the country that were, you know, quote unquote, safe for the volunteers. But 1998, I think, was also the 50th anniversary of Sri Lanka's independence from the British Commonwealth. And so, you know, whether you call them terrorists or freedom fighters, the Tamil Tigers were expanding their operations into other parts of the country. And, you know, there was a suicide bomber that actually blew himself up less than 2 miles from where I lived. So, you know, you not only get into, experiencing another world, but you get into the middle of experiencing some of the hardest things that can happen to people in other parts of the world. You know, that was the life-changing experience, Jessica, being there for a year. You know, and I've traveled other places too, not for such long periods of time, but, you know, I spent the summer in Alaska working on a salmon processing center, and I got to know people up there, and I almost did not come back. I had a new, gig I could have gone to up in Cordova, and I ended up just coming back to the lower 48. But, you know, that was an opportunity for me to take a different life path that I ended up not taking.
So any regrets about that?
No, it was the right choice to make. I mean, I can see different paths. I could have taken single decisions that could have led here instead of there. I don't have really any regrets about the path that I've taken, really. I'm happy being where I am. All my experiences, good and bad, have led me to where I am. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really.
That's a good message for people. Sometimes we think about the past and think, oh, if I would have just done this, I would have ended up here. But really, we're probably all where we're supposed to be, and all of the experiences, good and bad, bring us just to the next place, and then that next place takes us to the next place, and, mm-hmm. and that's where all of our lessons come from, and that's where sometimes all of our shit comes from.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, every once in a while, I'll read an article from someone who's, maybe in the senior stage of their life, and, you know, they're asked, you know, what are your biggest regrets? And, you know, one common theme for people that, you know, have expressed regrets is, oh, you know, I didn't do this even though I wanted to do it, or, you know, I didn't do that even though I wanted to. And, you know, the reality of being an adult is that, you know, you take on increasing responsibility and you take on increasing expectations from everyone in your life, you know, your job and your family and friends and, you know, even your own sense of what you quote unquote should be doing, you know, based on common social experience and social approval. But, you know, I think that that passion and those things that you want to do that you don't want to regret doing later on in life, you have to save a space for that. You have to save a space for that. And you need to just do it. You need to invest in that. And, you know, I think that helps keep you, keeps a person young and vibrant, you know, regardless of where they are in life, no matter how many years they have behind them. I think it's important to just stay true to those things that, you know, mean the most to you and not let them get overwhelmed by, you know, the expectations and the responsibilities, which we shouldn't give up. But, you know, you really need to know what your heart tells you to.
And you've done this now by having your day job as a marketer and really pursuing this second career as a novelist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think career might be a little bit much, but I'm writing another book now. I'm, you know, in the editing stages, and I'm hoping to get it out by the end of the year. You know, the realities of being a parent with a job in a, you know, a director level position and, you know, not having family in the area is that you have lots of demands on your time and you have to be honest about what you can and can't do. And that's something I've had to learn over the last several years. So I've tried to find a balance between everything that, you know, I want in my life and, you know, what are the realistic outcomes that I can expect based on, you know, the amount of time I have and my ability to manage everything. And, you know, I just want to keep writing because that's what I enjoy doing. And, you know, I'll just keep doing it.
Good. Well, I hope so because you're a great writer. And the name of the new book is?
It's Green Bay Outsiders. So if you were to Google Green Bay Outsiders, you know, probably the first couple of links would be Jay Lemming's website, and you'd have an opportunity to download the first scene of the book for free. That's it.
Okay, well, that's very exciting. And the website is, for both books, is what?
It's Jay Lemming, and that's not the letter J. It's J-A-Y Lemming, L-E-M-M-I-N-G, author.com.
How'd you come up with that name?
So, good question. Lemming was a college nickname, which I won't go into right now. It's a long story. Jay, though, I was inspired by Stephen King's son. Stephen King's son is Joe Hill, who's a well-known horror author. And, you know, when Joe, his name is Joe King, but when he was thinking of a pseudonym so he could kind of establish himself as a writer without living in his father's shadow, he originally said he thought about using the name Jay because that was the first letter of his name, Joe. Well, I just stole that idea. So Jay is the first letter of my name, Joe, and Lemming is a nickname I had from college. It gets back to a winter snowed in with some friends, serious cabin fever, lots of nicknames and God knows what being thrown around. So maybe I'll tell you that story another day when we're not being recorded.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing that. I'm excited about your book. I'm more excited that we're telling people that Joe is gay and that more people who know us are going to get the opportunity to read your first book and hopefully your second book. And I know it's very scary for you, but sometimes you have to do things that are scary to get to that next experience. I like the book and I shared it with some people, and I know you've gotten great feedback and you have a pretty strong following of people who have read it and who've enjoyed it. So that's great for you. And more important is that it's something that you love to do, which, you know, so many of us do things and, you know, we do them because we have to, but not because we want to and because we love to. So congratulations on being able to make that happen, even when dealing with all of the other shit that life has.
Right.
So a question that I'm asking everybody is, if you have one piece of unsolicited advice in any realm of the world, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I would say make the most of your bad experiences, your tough experiences, turn them into opportunities, mm-hmm. You know, learn from them and, you know, become stronger as a result. And, you know, don't avoid tough experiences. Don't avoid them because, you know, as Yoda said in The Last Jedi, which came out a few months ago, you know, failure is often our greatest teacher. And, you know, we can arise on the other side much stronger and knowledgeable, much more knowledgeable than we were before, you know, some of the bad things happened to us.
That is an excellent piece of advice. So thank you, Joe and Jay. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you sharing some of your shit on the Unsolicited Podcast.
Well, thanks, Jessica, for having me.
Thanks for listening to Talkin' Shit, the Unsolicited Podcast. Remember, everyone has shit. Be a good human.